إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the subject of lessons from Suratul Luqman, and we are on the lesson with respect to Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. In that context, I recited for you the ayat of Suratul Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the messengers, the Rusul, are Mubashirin wa Mundirin. They are bearers of good news as well as of warning, in order that mankind should have no excuse, no plea against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the coming of messengers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back his punishment on a people as long as there is a warner among them. As long as somebody is there who is advising about Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back his punishment from the people. But when that warner is removed for whatever reason, goes away or dies or is killed or whatever, then the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. It's a tragedy of the world. It is a great misfortune of humanity that humanity sees all those who warn them, sees all those who advise them for their own benefit as their enemies. And humanity sees those who invite them towards their own destruction as their friends. I can give you any number of examples like this, right in our society. Just to give you one or two very simple examples, ask yourself, how much do you pay actors and pop stars and rock stars and who else? And how much do you pay teachers and imams and ulama? I think this one example is good enough. As they say, you get what you pay for. And then, having done this, we have this amazing ability to fool ourselves, and we ask questions as if we are completely puzzled, and we say, why is society getting corrupted? Who should answer this question? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Muslim Ummah what he called the best nation ever raised up for the benefit of mankind. And Allah called us this not because of any racial superiority or superiority based on nationality or the kind of passport you have or the kind of name you have or the kind of, you know, which kind of school you went to or which college or which university. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this and called us the best of people ever raised for the benefit of mankind. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, because of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Because he raised us, Jalla Jalaluhu, for advising people to be good and preventing evil from happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised this ummah for social transformation, for the transformation of society from what it is to being ethically, morally, and socially responsible. If the ummah fails to do its duty of enjoining good and forbidding evil, corruption will spread throughout the ummah, and it will spread throughout the world, and the ummatul muslima, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will put itself in the way of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed those among the Bani Israel who disbelieved because they failed in this important duty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَن مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Allah said, those among the Bani Israel who disbelieved were cursed by the tongue of Dawood and Isa, son of Maryam, alayhimu salam. And that was because they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengers and were ever transgressing beyond bounds. They did not use to forbid one another from al-munkar, which is sins and all forms of evil, which they committed. Vile indeed was what they used to do. Enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil is one of the basic principles of this religion. And doing it requires putting up with difficulties and bearing insults and harm with patience. As Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, Ya bunayya aqimi salata wa'mur bil ma'roofi wanha anil munkar wasbir ala ma asabak inna thalika min azmil umur. O my son, aqimi salah, establish salah, enjoin on people al ma'roof, and forbid people from al-munkar, and bear with patience whatever befalls you. Verily, these are some of the important commandments ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no exception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this again in Surah Al-Asr, and it was the practice of the Sahaba that when they finished whatever majlis that they were doing, when they finished any meeting before they departed, they would recite to each other Surah Al-Asr. And they would say, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Which again points to the same issue of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. I won't go into the tafsir and explanation of the surah, we know this. But it refers to that. People who enjoin good and forbid evil, those who have iman, those who express that iman or show that they have iman by doing good deeds, because iman in Islam is not simply talking about stuff, it's doing stuff. So therefore, iman wa amilu salihat, and who also do amal, salih amal, wa tawasaw bil haqq, and who invite towards the truth, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ, and then who bear with patience and who act with patience when they are faced with difficulties because they have invited towards the truth. As I mentioned, this is a great paradox of humanity, that people who invite towards truth are the people who face difficulties. It should be the opposite. People who are inviting towards evil are the people who should be facing difficulties, but that doesn't happen. The doors of all sorts of facilities are open for them. But those who invite towards good are the people who are maligned and who are, who are opposed. And very sadly, and this is true of our ummah in particular, the first people to oppose the people who do the work of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar are the Muslims themselves. Muslims criticize Muslims more than anybody else. And for no reason. Why are you criticizing the person? Because he's inviting you towards good. But we have seen this in our lives. You see, I'm sure all of us have seen this. And those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the tawfiq of actually doing this work and talking about good, you would have seen this in reality and you would have faced it and experienced it. I want to say again that the work of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is not a job, it is not a career, it is not a work of a particular group of people, of an institution, of an organization, of a jamaat. This is the fard, this is the duty of every single man and woman. It does not consist of giving bayans, it does not consist of writing books, it does not consist of making TV programs or YouTube programs. It may have all of those elements in it, but first and foremost, it consists of living a life of goodness and not walking the path of evil yourself. The most powerful dawa is the dawa of the person's own behavior. People do not care what you say until they see what you do. You can talk till the cows come home, there will be no effect if your actions do not support your words. And therefore we as Muslims, I remind myself and you, let us look first and foremost at our own lives. We cannot be talking about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we do disobedience ourselves. We cannot talk about adherence to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when we break the sunnah ourselves. There's no power in those words. And those words will come back to haunt you and me. May Allah protect us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Kabura maqtan indallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, why do you say that which you do not do? And before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very great problem. It's a very, very big sin. So I advise myself and you, let us first and foremost look at our own lives and make sure that our lives are on adherence to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil is a very important mission. So it is essential to be trained in the method of doing it. I know of many dawat and dawah training programs, most done over weekends like cookery classes. All of them talk about how to talk, how to start a conversation, how to lead people to ask the right questions, how to make the final sale, which is tell them to accept Islam. Many of them approach it from the debating and arguing angle, by opening the conversation by essentially telling them how foolish they are to believe what they believe other than Islam. But I have yet to come across which begins with insisting on tazkiyatun nafs and tarbiyatul akhlaq, which is where every Nabi began. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided his Anbiya himself, and every Nabi went through not a weekend course, not even weeks or months or even years, but decades of training before they got the ijazah, the hukum in their case, to preach. And that is why their preaching had effect. The same issue is with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put them through a training course in the work of dawah, which began with themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said, Ya ayyuhal muzzamil, qumil layla illa qaleela. نِصْفَهُ أَبِنْ قُسْمِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْزِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who is wrapped in garments and sleeping, stand up. And stand up for the whole night, or a part of the night, maybe more, maybe less. And do what? Recite the Quran in Tartil in a beautiful way. Repeat what you have learnt. Show and demonstrate what you have understood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because tomorrow you are going to be given a task which is very difficult. What is that task? The task of dawah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, it is true that to wake up in the night is very difficult. Hiya ashad. But this is the best thing for understanding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for disciplining yourself. Sayyid Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, says in the Asbab al-Nuzul of these ayat of Surah al-Muzzammil, she said that these ayat and the until ayah number 19, these came within the first year of revelation. So this is among the earliest ayat to be revealed after the Quran started. And then only 12 months later, a year later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the 20th ayat of the Quran, which is the ayat of Rukhsa. And even if you look at the ayat of Rukhsa, what does it say? Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thulutha wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak wallahu yuqaddiru al-layla wa an-nahar علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فقرأوا ما تيسر من القرآن. Allah said, Allah did not say stop reciting. He said, read whatever you can read. علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فقرأوا ما تيسر من. Even if you are sick, even if you are traveling, even if you are doing jihad في سبيل الله, again stand in tahajjud and pray. Whatever you can do, do it. Makes eminent sense if we understand when is the time when we really need the help of Allah. When we are in trouble. So Allah is saying, when you are not in trouble, stand and recite. And when you are in trouble, also recite, because that is when you really need it. So the way of ruksa is really not ruksa as in it's okay, don't do it. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, I understand you are sick. So maybe do a little bit less if you feel so sick. You're traveling, you are in some form of danger, there's a lack of security one way or the other. So maybe do a bit less, but do it. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Establish salah, give zakah and give more. What is qardan? Qard hasana is not zakat. Because zakat has already been mentioned. Qard hasana is even more charity beyond zakat. And it is the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah calls it qard. Allah does not need a loan. In any case, how can we give Allah a loan when Allah already owns what we have and He owns us also? This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the grace of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. He calls it a loan to honor the people. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. My brothers and sisters, the issue of inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, the foundation of it and the existence of it and the carrying on of it is rooted in tarbiyah, is rooted in tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. All the rest will come. Please understand, I'm not saying that knowledge is not important, your education is not important. But when you are talking about the work of Da'watul Islam, what is most important is to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that work. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, the one who has taqwa, yu'allimukumullah. Allah will give him ilm, Allah will teach him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire in your heart to say what needs to be said and to do what needs to be done in a particular situation. So by all means acquire knowledge, by all means study and so on and so forth. But the number one requirement is that you get yourself accepted, get yourself recruited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that work. Because unless that happens, the work will not be given to you. This is the same principle we follow in our businesses and so on. I can't announce and say, today, from today, I am working for GE. GE has to recruit me. GE has to accept me as their employee if I want to work for GE. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how much I want to work for GE, I will never work for GE unless I get recruited. Yes or no? And when I get recruited for GE, then who pays my salary? Then who gives me an expense account? Then who gives me whatever resources I need to do that work? Will GE say, well, we gave you the job, now go buy your own computer, go buy your own cell phone, go buy your own plane ticket? No. Once you are recruited by us, then we take care of all your needs. And your single job is to do our work. This is the same principle we apply in our businesses, anywhere. Get recruited. And exactly the same principle applies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the deen. Get recruited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you from sources that you could not imagine. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve his problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract him from difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then provide him from sources that he could not imagine. Doors will open in what look like blank walls. Hearts of people will be turned towards them, and those people were previously their enemies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made this fabulous, beautiful statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not enumerate what He will give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply said, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who has tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. There is no need to enumerate. There is no need for a list. When Allah said, I will become sufficient for you. The key is to get recruited. And that begins and ends with tarbiyah. So focus on tarbiyah. Focus on yourself. Number one, earn and eat halal. Whatever is doubtful, leave it. To leave that which is doubtful is taqwa. Number two, selective obedience is disobedience. Don't pick and choose. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered is for your own good, and if you don't understand this basic thing, then Allah knows what kind of brains we have. So obey whatever has been ordered. Follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every single way. No selective obedience. Number three, fulfill all fara'id. Whatever Allah made fard, it's non-negotiable. Must be done, has to be done, period. Fulfill all fara'id. Number four, follow every sunnah that you can follow. What you cannot follow, make tawbah for, but don't sit and say, well, this is not important, that is small, this is big. Don't put yourself in the way of kufr and shirk. Follow what you can follow, what you can't follow, make tawbah, but make sure that you don't open your mouth and talk beyond your boundaries. And the last one, not because it is least important, but because of the order that I am following, the last one, which is perhaps even more important than everything else, is our akhlaq and muamilat. There is a whole chapter on akhlaq which we will come to inshallah after this. But it's our akhlaq and muamilat. It is our behavior and manners and our dealings with people which change hearts, either positively or negatively. If we lie and cheat, if we deceive, if we backbite, if we slander people, and believe me, the length of your beard, the size of your turban, how many times you pray, how far up from your ankles your pajama is, none of this makes any difference. It actually brings a bad name to the religion. And it brings a bad name to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where people will say that this man with a beard and a turban and his trouser above his ankles lied and cheated and deceived. So you are a culprit in more than one way. Now this does not mean that if you do not have a beard and you do not wear a turban, lying and cheating is halal for you. No, it is not. But please understand this. We are walking, talking representatives of Islam. We are walking, talking representatives of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are this whether we like it or not. The day you decided to recite the kalima, or in the case of most of us, we did not even decide that, we were born in homes, alhamdulillah, where the kalima was recited. The day you got the name you got, you became a representative of Islam and of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ask yourself, what kind of reputation do I want to bring to Islam and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Alhamdulillah, both Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are free from our evil. But we need to ask ourselves, what kind of a name are we giving to the world? I won't even list all the stuff that is going on in the world. All of us know that. It's very depressing. I don't think you need me to list all that. But all of that, if you ask me to boil it down to one word, it is our dealings with people. One statement, it is our dealings with people. This is what causes all the trouble that we as an ummah collectively are facing across the world. To give you a very simple example, which I have mentioned many times before. The single reason why people oppose the establishment of masajid in practically every country is, you know why? Parking. The way we park our cars. No other reason. There is no other reason why they oppose the establishment of masajid. It is parking. The moment Muslims come into the place, you will have all kinds of chaos. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? I mean, surely we are intelligent enough to understand that parking across somebody's driveway, parking across somebody's gate is one of two things. Either it's an act of war or it's an act of insanity, one of the two. You want to take up a fight with that person, so you are deliberately instigating and irritating that person, then be prepared for the consequences. I know a friend of mine who drives a Land Cruiser with a big cow catcher in front, you know, big shield. Somebody parked the car in front of his house. He said, no problem, put it into a four-wheel drive and moved the car. His Land Cruiser didn't even get scratched. That car, half of it collapsed. He says, no, what can I do? I want to go. Seriously, I mean, have a heart. Now, please understand it. This is not how we are supposed to behave. And as I told you, you are not alone. You are not alone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with you. Islam is with you. Decide how you want to treat that relationship. My brothers and sisters, this is the reason why the preaching of the Sahaba had an effect. This is why the preaching and dawah of the Anbiya alayhimu salam had an effect. Because it was rooted and based in their practical lives and in their behavior. Not because there is not a single Nabi, there is not one among the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain who said one thing and did something else. Not a single one of them. Also, you will find that there is probably not a single one of them, including Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who stood and gave long bayans for 3 hours and whatnot. Their lives were the embodiments of Islam. They were living, walking, talking models of Islam. And as they say, the rest is history. The 1.5 billion Muslims today in the world, Islam spread all over the world, by the work of these people simply being and living Islam. They were traders, they were Muslim traders, and the way they traded showed this difference. If you wanted to say, well, you know, you are a Muslim trader, how are you different from somebody else? You didn't have to ask this question. When you dealt with that person, you understood that. So you are a Muslim doctor, I don't have to say that. You don't have to look at my beard or my name. When I deal with you, you will understand what is the meaning of dealing with a Muslim physician or Muslim surgeon. And the same thing applies across the board. Muslim teacher, Muslim father, Muslim mother, Muslim's head of state, Muslim politician. Today we have legalized everything which is haram in the name of that job. If a Muslim politician lies and cheats, what do we say? Politics hai saab, karna padta. Khabar mein gaya to maloom hota. Joote pade to kya karna padta, kya nahi padta. Seriously. Kuch karna nahi padta. You have to do what Islam ordered you to do. Period. Khalas. And if indeed, and I challenge people, when people come to me and say, in this job we can't do it, I say this is a lie. I search in the world to find people who are in those jobs and who are following the principles of Islam. In most cases, they are not even Muslim. And my answer is very simple. One of two things. Either, if that person can do it, why can't you do it? And number two is, if indeed you can't do it, then you have no business doing that job. Leave it. Leave that job. Go and sell bananas or something. I mean, you know, whatever. Do not, Islam does not permit you to break the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the name of earning a living or your career or business or whatever. There is no permission for that whatsoever. So either you decide, how can I implement Islam in my life, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you great strength and power and barakah in that, Or leave that job, change that job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not muhtaj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not incapable of feeding you if you leave that particular job. I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, that one day we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us wake up. Let us bring about change in our lives. Let us bring about change in our customs and practices and lifestyles, so that when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be a standing of honor and of forgiveness, not a standing that we will have problems thereafter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, to accept all your du'as and your ibadat. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help you in every single way and to protect you from all evil and to enable you to do that which is pleasing to Him Jalla Jalaluhu, which will give you power and authority in this world to establish His law and to establish His grace and mercy for all those who inhabit this planet.